Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, I have a couple of buddies from Clover Club in Brooklyn, New York. I have here the new head bartender, Tom Macy, and floor manager, Jesse Wallers. Welcome to the show.
What's up?
How's it going, guys?
It's going really good.
Yeah, it's going wonderfully.
It's raining, though.
It's raining. That's true.
But we have sweaters.
And, so and beer.
And a zip-up hoodie for me.
Cool. That's where so I went wrong. There are a lot of things happening right now at Clover Club. Brad Farron, who's been on the show a couple times, has stepped back. He's working on some other projects, some other bars right now. And that opened up the head bartender position for you to take over, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is really crazy. I started at Clover Club in January of 2009 as a barback with literally zero experience. I was a host for 5 years at a restaurant in Manhattan, and I was interested and enthusiastic about cocktails, but that was about the extent of it. And, you know, got my butt kicked for a year as a barback and then sort of rose up through the ranks and... I did not see it coming, but, you know, me getting the job, I think, had every bit to do with Brad's and Julie's confidence in the promotion. So, yeah, it was really crazy. And, you know, I keep saying it's not even a dream come true because I didn't dream it until it happened, you know?
It was pushed down your throat.
It was forced. I was tied down and forced to accept it.
Like,
but
listen,
it's
you're going it's, to be the head bartender.
I feel really, really, really lucky. And so it's been a blessing.
Where were you a host? I didn't know
Savoy.
This. You were a host at Savoy? Mm-hmm. Makes sense. You're a handsome guy.
That's what they say.
You guys have always had a very nice, like, really tight camaraderie with not only the Clover Club, but with, you know, for instance, Flatiron Lounge, where you were before Clover Club, Jesse.
Yes. I loved working at Flatiron Lounge. I was actually always working in restaurants. I was a restaurant bartender, very fast-paced. New York Times rated restaurants, very, you know, high stakes restaurants. And I worked with Joe Swiftka at a couple of places, and I've always been really good friends with him. And then when he began working at Elitaria, he asked me to come on board. And that was actually my first time really getting involved with classic cocktails, because I've worked mainly in wine for the last, I don't know, 7 to 8 years. Did a stint with beer for a while, worked at Resto, got to really kind of take in and learn more about beers. And then I had never really dabbled in classic cocktails, although I really enjoyed it, and I certainly enjoyed drinking them. Yeah, so when I worked with Joe, it was certainly an ass-kicking, certainly. Like, I had no idea what went into it. We didn't have bar backs. It was just like the three of us.
Isn't that like such a consistent thing? I feel like in everybody's story. I mean, I just referenced getting my ass kicked, and like everyone's just like,
well,
I started getting my ass kicked. And then I was all right, you know.
I will say, well, my first bartending job was at this little rockabilly bar in Virginia. And you want to talk about getting your ass kicked, especially as a female. It's like, all right, you want it. You're going to, here you go. I was like, okay, you're like bleeding, covered in Bloody Mary mix and changing 8 kegs a day. I'm like, sure, I can deadlift a 250-pound keg. Why not? 5 times over. So I think that just kind of sets the standard, though, for how hard you work and how much you want it and how enjoyable it is. Because at the end of the day, it's so fun. It's so fun.
Absolutely.
You know? So when I worked at Elitaria, I love Joe. You know, I would do anything for him. So I was happy to help. And I really learned, like, he really army styled it into me as far as like how to properly stir a cocktail, about cracking ice, different styles of ice, stir times, just every little basic thing that you would take for granted being a bartender. Thinking that I've worked at restaurants and I know how to make a martini, it's fine. No, you don't know how to make a martini, exactly. It's not fine. So you relearn essentially everything you know, but then you relearn it to perfection. It's like you know exactly how to do it. And so from there, I actually went on to Flatiron and decided to cocktail instead because I felt good about the amount of time I had put into bartending. But I was so excited to work for Julie, which sounds really nerdy, but I had been a patron of Flatiron Lounge for a long, long time. I was a really big fan. I was so excited when I finally had the opportunity, the time to ask for the job and to get it. And I just felt like, this is the best. This is the best, you know? And I got to really learn. I worked under Ryan McGrail, who's fantastic, you know? It's just like a proper showman, you know, fast and really, just really professional. It was just a great experience, you know, and it was nice coming from a bartending background to be an extension of the bar, to be able to discuss with customers in the same way I would discuss wine, you know, like trying to kind of find that perfect match for somebody who has no idea what they want or they have a direction. It's great. So it certainly extends beyond the bar if you really absolutely have a passion for it, you
and
know?
Exactly. And I feel like a lot of the new guard these days, mm-hmm. a lot of the young people getting into it, don't always understand that level of service that needs to come along with it. You know
I think
always remember a recipe, but
totally. Well, I think it's a half and half thing. Like we have people that work at Clover Club that are there and they know nothing about cocktails and they're interested, but you know, you never really understand the level of their interest. And you've got people like Travis. You know, like, mm-hmm. he is in it. We have a bar back now, and he is, like, his knowledge is exceptional. He really puts in the time. He wants it, you know, and he, like, wants to go to the seminars. He pays attention to Tom. He's always asking questions. So there still is that breed of people that come up in our restaurants that are, or bars that are, like, they want to work for Julie. They want to learn. And it's really exciting.
Yeah.
And then there's the other half of people that are actors in New York. That way
hey, I was an actor. No, I know there's a lot. It's true. There are a lot of components that you got to master. You know, it's like you got to be a nerd and
you have to treat it like an art form.
You know, like, you have to be a historian, at least enough interested in history to learn all of that. And then you have to be an athlete. Really, it's
oh my God.
To some
you
level
to be a baller.
You do. I mean, like, I you know,
I survive. It's survival.
I think that one of the things that served me well in sort of rising up the ranks was, you know, I was enthusiastic about cocktails, and like you said, anyone can learn a recipe. So I think I'm like one of those people. It's like anyone can learn a recipe. I can memorize mm-hmm. recipes, but it's like I was comfortable in front of people, you know, as an aspiring actor, and I was well, you know, I mean, that's
should we bring it up now gonna, or should we wait till later?
I'll just read my. You never know who could be listening. Maybe Steven Spielberg is tuned in. But anyway, I was just going to say.
Then like, what's going to happen with the Clover Club?
Yeah, I'm sorry. There are a few things that would pull me away from this head bartending
sorry,
job.
Sorry, Steven.
If Steven Spielberg is like, look, Shia LaBeouf has dropped out of Indiana Jones 5, we're perfect.
You're like, I don't know, man.
I'd be like, sorry, guys, but I got to do this.
You'd be like, all right. I get it.
But going back to what you were saying before that, though, about the memorizing of cocktail recipes and specs and mm-hmm. remembering a year here and a substitution here from one of the editions of a book from, you know, the original to the second and all that stuff. Yeah, that's really fun. But I like what you were just getting at about being a bartender. Like, you have to really play every role in the, mm-hmm. in the establishment. You have to be the host, the bouncer, a waiter, a chef, a bartender. Right.
It's really actually frustrating when people don't get that.
You know, like,
that's why I don't understand when there's like the front of the house versus the back of the house issues in a restaurant. I'm like, listen, guy, you know, like, bartenders are essentially your line cooks. You know, like, you're expediting yourself. You know, the only difference is that we're actually talking to people.
Right.
Like,
no, it's like if you're a line cook, but people were like in front of you,
kitchen,
talking to you while
you're working
you were doing
at like Joel Robichon, you mm-hmm. know, then you're a bartender. It's, you know, it's interesting to me when it's always like, ugh, you know, like,
yeah, that's such like, a on, weird it's phenomenon that would even happen in under the same roof. You know?
And it is, though. It's like I think that's one of those things you hear. One of the criticisms you hear a lot is, especially from like the older guard, like I feel like Gary Reagan is often referencing, you know, these younger bartenders. I don't want to put words in his mouth. It's not that he's saying they didn't earn it, but it's that they've forgotten a very key component where they're more concerned with the artisanal craft of being a bartender, but not the social aspect of it.
Right. And, yeah, because you're still there. People are still there to talk to you. You know, they want to have a good time.
It's not about just trying to get your recipe in a right. newspaper or magazine.
It's like you're all growing out. It's all a bunch of friends sitting around drinking, talking about things. And
it's exhausting to maintain though. Sometimes
it certainly is.
I mean, like,
which is why we love the guests that come in with like a book. We're like, right. Oh, God.
No, it's hard, but no, it's like I always say, it's like, you know, when I'm really tired, I'm like, it is my job to keep this conversation going mm-hmm. until I pick up on the social cue that maybe they want to read their book or they just want to chill out. But you
I love when you miss the social cues and you just stay. I'm just kidding.
Right.
Can you pretend to miss the social cues and just stand there in front of them and not
just
say
like stare at them?
That would be amazing. That's going to be my new thing. I'm gonna ignore all social cues.
I'll wait till you really want to be alone and just stand
Tom,
there.
Tom, I'm working. I'm working. Okay.
Yeah. You can look forward to that.
What are you talking about?
On that though, you know, it is very difficult though, like doing this style of bartending and trying to maintain that mm-hmm. level of engagement with customers.
By the way, Tom is great at it because he's a machine. Like he'll be on service bar, and I'm just like. I'm trying. We're trying to do this, and then there's like four people standing there, and Tom's always like, "Oh, hey, what can I get?" I'm like, "Wow,
really?" I feel like I always.
You don't feel like it, but it's true.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I always feel really bad.
I'm like hands up. We can't do this right now. But people are.
I just can't stand when people are standing in front of me. Like, you know, I mean, I would rather just sort of pile on a few more cocktails. And right. You know,
you should just at that.
You know, in my queue, I'd rather pile four more on
at that
than
moment,
have four more people.
Just like
at
make
me.
Four random cocktails and hand it to the people standing there waiting to like, drink this. Well,
there's,
and then think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't keep your head down too much. Yeah.
No, you can't.
No, but that's like, what I'm saying. Tom is great. He stops and actually engages and then goes right back to being a machine. It's pretty amazing. I'm just like, I can't.
It's like in Del DeGroff's book when he talks about being like slammed in the Rainbow Room mm-hmm. and he's making all these drinks and he knows he's behind, but he just keeps a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He skewers a couple of olives.
As long as you look calm.
Hands it to a customer and he's like, check out these olives. This is the best olive you're ever going to have. It's just a regular olive that every bar has. You know, like
oh, that's awesome. And,
but it like
a, it's a good trick.
It was. It's a really, really good trick.
Well, I definitely, you know, it's like you're always, you know, the pursuit of excellence is always just never being satisfied with how, you know, even no matter how much you've achieved, you're like, I can always be better, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, like I noticed
people.
One thing that I was doing was, that I would often, when I was in the weeds, I would try to be as fast as I could with the conversation with people, and I would just take their order and fly away. And, you know,
literally.
I was just like, when I approach that person, I just want to, like, make it seem like I have nothing else to do but talk to them.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's what we all try to do. I mean, that doesn't always happen, but...
It does not.
But getting back to... We're going to take a quick break here in a sec, but... We were just about to hit on the subject of the front of house and back of house camaraderie,
yes.
or
yeah.
lack
oh,
thereof
know,
in some situations.
What I didn't mention is that Clover Club does not have that animosity, where like the back of the house is
it didn't seem like it.
No, we like each
it's
other.
It's a small group, and everybody's awesome.
But it's not to say that you know.
But I'm just talking
do not
about
arise
like other
now and again.
Oh, it certainly does. But
like every great relationship,
right? Well, that's with the front of the house and the front of the house too.
Yeah.
But just in other restaurants that I've worked, I really that's what I wanted to clarify that it's always been this kind of,
yes.
you know.
Well,
but
we shall touch on it.
Yeah. But at Clover, it's actually really nice and kind of homogenous. You know,
yeah,
Gil is.
Yeah, your new
Gil
chef, Gil Calderon.
Awesome. Yeah, Gil took over the ranks for Craig a while ago, and he's just killing it.
He really is killing it.
Like his. I don't know. I can't believe he doesn't get more press, you know?
Press is a fickle thing. I mean,
we'll talk about that when we get back to
it. Yeah. He deserves it, you know?
Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk about your new chef, Gil Calderon, when we get back.
Sounds good.
All right. In a few.
All right. Baby, I'm howling for you. First Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. All right, we'll follow your lead.
All right, we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy. In the studio today, we have head bartender Tom Macy and floor manager Jesse Wohlers of Clover Club. And we were just speaking before the break about front of house and back of house relationships, or whether they are good or bad. And that with their new chef, Gil Calderon, they've definitely been bouncing ideas off of each other for the new menus that have come out just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's such a cool thing.
And that's how it should be.
It's such a cool thing. I've never seen a chef as involved, you know, as Gil for, like, cocktails. I've never... Like, you guys... It goes hand in hand. You guys work with Gil all the time as far as developing ideas for...
It definitely has evolved that way. I mean, the thing that's cool about Clover Club is that I think it's, you know, being... Opening when it did in Brooklyn... in, you know, middle of 2008, it was kind of right on the cusp of, you know, this sort of Brooklyn renaissance of bars and restaurants. And I think that being one of the first ones there, it now kind of has that cachet of being a neighborhood joint that's almost a staple of the neighborhood, you know. So anyway, I think that it is just evolved over time and is continuing to do that. And we're really comfortable with, like, you know, Gil's coming in and it's like, okay, he's here now. What can we... What can he bring to the table, as opposed to this is how we do things, and this is the, you know, you're going to conform to this. And I feel I have been given the same freedom. So with, yeah, with Gil, like, we've been you know, doing sort of themed parties and things that maybe seem a little bit lowbrow, or perhaps could
or
be viewed
awesome.
As somewhat lowbrow, like a Super Bowl party, for example. And I, you know, I had just been promoted, and I am a big sports fan, which is not necessarily consistent in the mixology industry, but you know, I
especially
am
because most of those bars don't have TVs.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe that has nothing to do with it, but we do have one hidden behind a curtain. Don't tell anyone, even though I said it on the radio. You know, I was like, hey, maybe we should have a Super Bowl party, and I talked to Gil about it.
Kind of like the
first
one we had the year prior. It was just the four of us.
It was just like four of us. But
four people Mexican blowout.
I mentioned, well, that was the thing. It was no one there. I was like, here's a Super Bowl, but we are a bar, and like, we are casual, or we can be casual. So I talked to Gil, and
Gil,
you know,
jumped on it.
I was like, was awesome. And I didn't even throw out specifics. I was like, what if we did something sort of
he's like, done.
Our version of bar food? And he comes out with these burgers and like a knife stuck in them with onion rings towered around it. And he had, Irish nachos, which was like waffle fries. And it was awesome. He did wings, you know, I mean, it was, he just killed it. And it was one of those things where I just sort of just threw him like the tip of the iceberg, and he ran with it, and he's continued to do that, and it's now is taking on form in the everyday menu as well.
I think it seems it's also a testament to Julie's hiring capabilities. Mm-hmm. Like, she really just hires people that are very capable, and then they have a forum. They have the best forum to just do what they do.
Yeah.
And then she's
no,
like,
she doesn't
right,
micromanage.
You know?
I mean, she wants things to a certain caliber, but
she can trust
should.
That, you
but,
know,
right. She lets you
keep it there.
Do your, you know, I mean, we just changed the menu. We just changed it 2 weeks ago, the cocktail menu, and it was a huge change. I think we had 30 drinks on the winter menu, and we have the same number.
We have that
give or
many
take.
Drinks.
it's
so
28.
Crazy.
It might be 28.
I had no idea.
I think five of them were the same from winter to spring. So then we changed, you know, 23 to 25 drinks. And she let me design the menu. I mean, she helped, but I mean, it was terrifying. But like, I feel
so much more confident now. You have a good group of people standing behind you.
Absolutely.
That are gonna, like,
yeah, everybody,
you know,
contributes.
Everybody's going to support. Nobody's ever going to.
But I feel really confident knowing that someone has your back.
Yeah. Was there a certain, like, kind of theme or style, like, that across the board kind of reflective?
You know, it was funny because, you know, when I got promoted to head bartender, I remember Brad and I went out to lunch at Frankie's, actually, and he was like, so, the first we sat down, he's like, "So, what do you want to do?" You know, as you know, for the Clover Club. And I was just like, "I don't know, not totally fuck it up."
not have Clover Club go down in flames.
Not have the place burn to the ground. But you know, I just sort of eventually was like, "Look, I mean, I've gotten to this place. I you know, the only thing I can do is be true to what I think is good and what I know how to do." And
which I appreciate.
Yeah. So
I'm there with you.
I admittedly am not the biggest cocktail nerd. I think that I am a cocktail nerd, but I tend to like, I'll say, drinks that I think many would consider a little sweet. Like, I think I'm never afraid to add a quarter ounce of simple to something to bring out. I think sugar is an amazing conductor of flavor.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And I
think
like
that
sugar,
I often will get a daiquiri and I'm like, this needs a quarter ounce of sugar or half an ounce of sugar. It just does.
I'm glad you said that because I'm always afraid because I like the same thing. Like, I like my daiquiris a touch sweeter.
I was afraid too.
And everybody's like,
I was like, you know what? I'm the head bartender at Clover Club and this is how we're doing
You're
it.
Like, God damn it.
And
this is what we're doing.
So anyway, not to say, yeah, so my plan was to make sweet drinks. No,
sweet cloying stupid.
No,
drinks.
But anyway, I wasn't afraid to just go if something seemed just too.
Our featured cocktail right now is a rum and coke.
Yeah, right. I wasn't afraid to do things that maybe seemed like they'd already been done. We have a cocktail called the Ambrosia Swizzle, which is muddled cucumber, strawberry,
so delicious,
pineapple, right, lime,
guys,
sugar.
Come to Clover Club and drink
liqueur.
That drink and eat Gil's food because it's freaking delicious.
It's incredible, and I really
I think
is perfect.
Every drink. Honestly, I've been at Clover Club now for a while. I was at Flatiron for a long time. Every drink on the spring menu, like, it just gets better and better. Everybody gets more fine-tuned, I think, as an artist, you know, as a bartender. So it's pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah, no.
Oh, easy.
I definitely have no, I have no problem.
We just got a Twitter question.
It's an easy one.
Read it out loud for
you. Know, I was wondering if this was going to come up.
I will tell you because I actually eat cheese sticks on a regular basis with a cocktail, and I'm happy.
Twitter question is, what cocktail goes best with cheese sticks? Should we give some exposition to...
I don't know what that word means. Use smaller words, Tom, please.
Cheese sticks. I'm assuming they're... mean John William Macy's cheese sticks.
Oh, geez, the shout out.
Well,
that was really subtle.
Twitter shouted it out for me, which is made by my father, John William Macy.
Is that what they're talking about? I thought they were talking about like crappy fried cheese
that's
sticks.
That's got to be what they're talking about.
I was thinking,
do you not
mozzarella.
Know what cheese sticks are? My dad's, have we not talked about this?
We haven't.
Are we, I think,
do you know,
let me see that.
Okay, do you know those like, little like twisty breadstick things. They're cheesy breadsticks. And they say cheese sticks on them, and they do say John William Macy's cheese sticks.
And they have a picture of your dad. And it's really cool.
Maybe. That's my dad.
Oh my god!
Yeah, my dad is John William Macy.
now everybody knows. They were concerned. They were curious.
Yeah. So I have not paired my father's cheese sticks in the answer
this
to that
is
question
where we,
to a cocktail.
This is where we differ, because I'm thinking like Buffalo Wild Wings.
You're thinking like
fried
mozzarella
cheese sticks.
It would be an absurd coincidence if that person is talking about mozzarella sticks. I'm sure that it's somebody that knows
I guess
who my dad is. Yeah, no.
Because I was just going to say margarita. That's where I was going with that.
What cocktails, but... I mean, I eat cheese sticks with cocktails often. You know, anytime I go to my parents' house, I usually make cocktails, and there are usually cheese sticks there.
Let's think about this.
I haven't had a cocktail that doesn't pair well with cheese sticks.
Are we going to go classic?
I can cop out.
I would say old fashioned.
Manhattan is really good. It's really good. You do like some mixed nuts, cheese sticks, do a nice little.
Or what about a nice gin martini? With some cheese sticks.
You know
that
what?
Sounds like that might be delicious.
This is not related to cheese sticks, but to the gin martini. Gin martinis are not my favorite cocktail.
That's okay.
I think it needs a little bit of sweet vermouth to ground
that
it.
That makes sense. See, I like... I'm not going to... Okay, here's where I'm
going to
throw myself under the bus.
Or
I like,
blonde vermouth instead.
Or, yeah, I don't know. Martini. It just feels a little thin to me.
See, but I like a dirty martini. I like a little brine in there.
I like a Gibson martini.
I'm not going to lie.
Speaking of the kitchen and Gil and everything, we had an event a little while ago, and they wanted picklebacks. And, you know, Gil being
sure.
just
I
the
saw
game
that last
chef,
night. I was like, yeah. what is this?
He was like, sure, I'll just make some pickle juice. You know, whatever.
He's like,
I'll just
like, whipped up some pickle juice.
I'll whip up the best
like,
pickle
okay.
juice you've ever had, it turns out. And
it's like, what
I
is he doing down there? He's like a mad yeah. scientist.
I found it
downstairs
last
in
night.
The
we were dead, and I found it in the back of like a fridge. I was like, oh, right, the pickle juice. And I was like, I'm going to make a Gibson out of this. And it was unbelievably
I bet it was.
Amazing.
And it probably
and
was delicious
put
with
it
some cheese sticks.
Yeah, might as well.
The Martin Miller's gin.
Yeah.
And totally. Gill pickle juice.
I think that's
Wentworth
delicious.
Strength. That's Westburn probably, strength.
It'd probably go well with cheese sticks, too.
It probably would.
Right? That's probably, you know, I'm going to go savory. Savory would go good with cheese sticks.
Probably.
So you actually... Speaking of events, you know, you guys did a Mad Men
event.
Yeah. You've done the Super Bowl, the Repeal Day.
Yeah, the
really
Repeal Day.
Repeal
party
Day was awesome.
Just
that was bananas.
Well, we had you know, Michael Arenella and his Dreamland Orchestra, as they're called.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Yes.
I saw him running on the street.
Oh, was
in
he not
Prospect
dressed,
Park
was he dressed
wearing
in
running
a,
shorts? And he had a bandana on his head.
Whoa, so
this
not
is,
1950s
this is
jogging gear.
This is a man that goes to the beach and wears like,
yeah, wears
like
a,
1950s.
Exactly. Bathing suit.
Yeah, and I was like, oh.
A one piece.
And I didn't recognize him at first, but I was like, wait a minute. That's totally him. He had like a yellow bandana on his head and some running shorts.
Yeah, no.
I was
he's
normal.
He sings, he performs every Wednesday at Glover Club and it does a... Yeah, sort of like Gershwin standards, like a five-piece
yeah.
band.
He sounds, it's
wonderful.
Great.
It's very
it's
consistent
very
with the aesthetic of Clover Club. Anyway, for Repeal Day, he performed, and we had a burlesque dancer.
Oh, she was so great.
Oh, man.
God.
I was stuck
was
on
so
service,
hilarious.
And I was like trying to look over the
I wasn't. I was like right there at the host stand watching.
But yeah,
the whole
no,
thing.
Events have been really, really successful. And I think that people are excited about being able to go to a party and not necessarily focus on like the cocktail experience, but mm-hmm. just have it.
It's
be
just
part
like
of
it's that
happening.
Little detail that's going to make your party amazing. You're not even going to know why.
And
you're going to
so
be like,
many,
why was this so awesome?
So many people
like, oh,
work and live in Brooklyn in this industry, you know, already. So mm-hmm. it's, I think, really, really accessible for people.
No, it's they're always killer. Note to everybody out there: if you do want to attend an event at Clover Club, please call ahead.
Oh,
please
yeah.
call ahead. And
right. Speaking of
talk
the Mad
to
Men
us about
party,
it, because everybody, if you know, you and 500 people are going to show up, and it's going to be. It's going to be a bummer when you can't fit physically into the restaurant. So yeah,
it's all right. We're accommodating.
We try.
You can do it.
I'm like, well, you can sit on the bar. Let's do that. Let's start seating people on the bar.
Speaking of events, what do you have coming up? I mean, the Derby is this Saturday.
Elaine and Bullet are giving us some Bullet Rye, and we're going to make juleps. Julie yeah. and Elaine are going to be up front with a booth slinging juleps.
Similar to what we did last year, but better.
Yeah.
You know, more
people are going to get... Totally decked
similar
out.
As the
oh yeah,
previous
it was
year,
fun.
But more awesome.
Yeah. More awesome. Well, because I think it was the first time we did it last year.
Maybe I remember being
Elaine came and it was really low key and it was fun and it was busy. People really got into it, but now I think it's going to be better orchestrated. Like we're going to have the food, we're going to have
yeah.
like past hors d'oeuvres.
It's going to be rad.
It's going to be serious, you know.
And then you know, election season. I'm ready to make
right.
a Mitt Romney inspired cocktail.
I'm still not.
I can't wait.
I'm not on board with this yet. I have to think about it. For
no, it's
a while.
True. Cocktails and politics don't seem like the best combination.
Only because I'm the manager, and it's going to be.
Yeah, like, no. We'll make sure that you're working that night.
Just make sure that
I don't want to touch it.
I want to wear. I'm going to wear one of those sumo suits. One of those like blow up sumo suits. So, like people will.
Perfectly
easily.
In keeping with our style.
Totally. I'm thinking more for everyone's protection. Myself and others. Our sumo suit. At least I'll be more scary. It'll be fine.
Speaking of protection, what's up with the video?
Should I prep this? Yeah.
Oh my God, guys.
Well, I referenced, well, yeah, we're talking about my past, my father's career, my previous career.
TomMacy.com.
Go to TomMacy.com for all things not related to my bartending career.
But ladies, he's taken.
I did get married 8 months ago, though, so sorry. But anyway, I think my greatest work is available online. If you Google search Nicholas Sparks's the hand job.
I swear to Christ, it is the funniest thing. I've seen a lot of funny things in my day, and I think this is actually taking the cake as one of the funniest things ever.
And will be
it made my day. And I think I showed at least 10 people yesterday.
Yeah, I got some text messages pretty late. I was like
running all over Brooklyn, showing people this video, just like drunkenly. You have to see this, guys. Oh my god, just check this out with my stupid phone. It was. And everybody was rolling. It was amazing.
Yeah, so check it out.
Check it out. Right. Oh, my God.
We will. And we'll check out Clover Club this Saturday for Derby Day. Yeah. And, you know, obviously, Wednesdays, like you said, the Dreamland Orchestra is there. And we'll have some awesome food and drinks and hang out at Clover Club.
Do it.
Yeah. Go the day. Check out that lunch menu, too. It's baller. I think I eat there every day.
Baller is Farron. Exactly the word I would use.
Brad Farron, Chris from Stinky, and I, and just eat there every single day. It's pretty great. Be part of our little family.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today, guys. It was a pleasure having you.
Thanks so much.
Tom Macy and Jesse Wollers of Clover Club.
Woo-hoo!
We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Bye.
Look that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high.